I'll tell you when I get there. Okay, somebody read verse 28.
Thou shalt not revile the gods, nor curse the ruler of thy people.
Tell me about it.
Revile the gods.
Let's look at some Hebrew words here. I'm not so sure in this one that... Yeah, I think as we look at the Greek, all right, so let's put this into context, okay? We've got a little sub-context here, okay? And so this word has, like many words, two definitions. Two categories that it can apply to. And so when we're going from one language to another, or when we're going to the English language to learn about an English word, we can know that there are several possibilities. So I'll read it. Point number one under this Elohim, which that, okay, anyway. Point number one is rulers, judges, divine ones, angels, gods. All of those are applicable. All right? Point number two, God, goddess, godlike one, works or special possessions of God, the true God, and God. So, let's read a couple different translations. What other translations do we have out there? We got the New
King James.
New King James. What does it say?
You shall not revile God nor curse a ruler of your people.
Don't revile God or curse a ruler of your people. Will that fit within the definition? Okay. All right. Tim, what do you have?
Same thing.
Same thing.
Which verse is it again?
28.
Exodus
22:28.
Oh,
yeah.
That's where I couldn't find it.
Yeah.
Exodus 22:28. You shall not curse God nor curse a ruler of your people.
Okay, so now this is one of the things as we study, we've got to make sure we got the context properly. Okay, does it make sense that we would not revile false gods like Baal and Molech, the goddess Estra? Would we not, you know, be proper to say those are false gods? They're wrong. Would it be proper to say the God of heaven, he's no good, he's, or, you know, would that be proper? So, now put that in with the second part, nor what?
Curse the ruler of your people.
Now, understandably, within the definition of the word, it could be God or goddess or godlike one. Okay? Which could come into the realm of a false god. All right? But does it make sense in the context? Okay? Now, we know that the word Elohim is the word for God. It's used over and over and over and over through the Hebrew Bible. Okay? And that's the Hebrew word, Elohim. And it means God. I don't know why the King James did this. There are numerous places in any translation you have that you're going to say, I think I've got a question about that. I've got a serious question about this. I don't think it fits the context. It doesn't fit the context of the Bible. to make that false gods, because it's little g in the King James. Do you see that? The God of heaven is always big G. It's got the definite article in front of it in the King James, but it doesn't in the other, does it? No. And so I'm not clear on the Hebrew language, so I don't know anything about the definite article in the Hebrew. But it is, I think it's like, it is God, okay, the God of heaven, okay? So we're not to revile God. What else are we not to do?
Curse the ruler of thy people.
Curse the ruler of your people. What's that? I can see the sparkle in Tim's eye. I always know when he's wanting to talk. He doesn't talk very often, but when he does, his eye sparkles. Go ahead, Tim.
You have a twinkle in your eye, honey.
It's this, you know, you point out that this carries over to the New Testament. Everything that we see in the Old Testament carries over to the New. You know, the concept of paying taxes, and Jesus says, whose face is on the coin? And, you know, render unto Caesar what it belongs to Caesar, and under God what belongs to God. But we have to be careful as Christians, if we're really, truly Christians, not to jump on the bandwagon. In our case, it's the president. He's the ruler of our country right now. And, you know, 3 years ago, 2 years ago, 4 years ago, I saw so-called Christians bashing Obama. And now I see Christians or so-called Christians bashing Trump. I mean, just basically... Well, in this case, it says not to curse, but they basically are cursing them out. And
in the New Testament, it says in Peter, this is part of today's or yesterday's readings, don't speak evil of dignitaries. Honor the king, it says in 1 Peter.
And it's difficult to do, but, you know, if you stop and think about it, at the time that was written, the Caesar was killing Christians, and Peter's telling them,
don't speak evil against your ruler.
So, if he can say that to them, we can put up with whoever's president.
I agree.
We may not agree with their
politics. I'll
tell you what. We may not agree with their politics, but yeah. Quit bashing.
And as much as I find that hard, because honestly, I've gotten involved in the political realm for the first time in my life since I've been living here, and... it's hard to not speak evil against these people. I don't care who they are. A politician, there's I find real lot of struggles with all of them. But it's sin. It's sin. So don't do it. You know, I just don't know how else to put it. I mean, sin is sin, and I can whitewash it. I can say whatever I want. I can, but I have got to.
Or whether that's freedom of speech.
That may be freedom of speech, but I'm a Christian before I'm a United States citizen. And so, as a Christian, the government should not have to worry about me. And that's the key. As the Christians of the first century church, the government did not have to worry about the Christians doing evil things. That's God's command. And I don't like it, because believe me, I would really like to talk evil and trash about probably all of them. Okay? You know, I might have some that I like better than others, but I know that before long it's going to change. I'm trying to find that verse in Corinthians, or Peter. I just read it.
That we just read?
No. It's the one, yeah, we just read it.
Just read it today.
So it's 4 or 5. And normally I see it right off when I'm when I'm that close.
He told me I had got it for you.
You didn't ask. You were supposed to ask when you were there if I wanted that passage.
It's in 2 verse 13 to 17. And 17 being the key verse you want.
Okay, so let's go to 1 Peter 2. And let's read that. 1 Peter 2. Guys, in this divided nation that we live in, we need to set the example. If we're going to bring this nation back together, we need to make sure that we're the example. Somebody read 13 through 17.
Submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be the king as supreme, or unto governors as unto them that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of them that do well. For so is the will of God, that with well-doing ye may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men, as free and not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness, but as the servants of God. Honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king.
Okay. Could it be any clearer? And so, guys, we've got people that are doing atrocious deeds. But when a ruler is elected, how ungodly. We're Christians. Who put our leader in place? Our leaders. Who put them there?
But what does Bob always tell us?
He's like me, doesn't like either thing.
No, but he said they're there for a purpose. God put them there for a purpose.
That's right. And this is what's scary.
Uh-huh.
God raises up the leaders and he brings them down. God put Hitler
in Germany. God put Trump in. God put Obama in. And all of those before. What's our job? Follow them. Not just to follow.
Respectful.
Not just respect. What's the word that was used?
Honor.
Now, how many of you find that easy?
Yeah.
But we're to be different. And if we're going to change this divisive nation that we're in, you and I have to be the ones to do it. Even if you don't like them, give them honor. Okay? That's not easy.
Can we keep in mind? Sorry, Tim. Go ahead.
Keep in mind, though, and it may be a balancing act. You do not have to agree with their positions unless it is law.
Right.
And even then, you don't have to agree with it, but you have to honor it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. For example, when I was 16 years old and the speed limit was 55, I just could not do it.
16, you can't do it now.
You're right, I can't do 55.
I'm not going to get into that one.
Anyway, we may not agree with the policy. I guess what I'm trying to get at is you can disagree with the policy and not curse the person.
Right.
You know, it boggles my mind that everybody right now wants to blame Trump for everything that's going on in the world. All right? I think Trump is not the best person in the world. I don't know him personally, so I can't, you know, vouch for his character or lack thereof. But there's some things he's doing that I don't have to agree with. His politics or his policies, I don't have to agree with.
Right.
But I still have to respect the office.
Right. As much as that's... And that's hard, guys. I'm telling you. And I don't know if you've ever been involved in the political realm, but if you really get involved in it very much as a Christian, it sickens you even more. And we are not going to get on politics here. We will not do that. This is not politics. This is Christianity. And you and I can be just as divisive and cause just as much trouble in the community as anybody else if we don't give honor to the king. And I don't care if it's our mayor in the city, you know. We listened to him give a speech at the meeting here a couple weeks ago, or a couple 2 months ago, I guess, or a month ago. And I try to honor him. We tease a little bit about his signs, but we do it in good humor, right? Bob teases him, but they do it on a joking basis, okay? But he still gives honor. And that's what we've got to do. Don't get caught up in this society. And remember that what are we before we are a U.S. citizen?
Christians.
I think if you'd really stop and think about it, it doesn't even matter what happens around you in politics. Because your God put them there. He may have put them in place because that's what we deserve. That means we better honor the king and do our best to deserve better. But that's up to us. And so, you know, I've heard so much of it after this election and during this election, and I hate that. I hate that. And I don't talk politics, but this is not politics. Now, Paul talking to Ananias, I want to get that thing where he called him a whited wall. It's, what's that?
Acts 23:5, is that where you talked?
Possibly. Yep, let's go to Acts 23. Because this is a place where the Apostle Paul spoke against a ruler of the people. And notice the response. Let's see how it takes place and notice the response. I want to begin, 23, I want you to begin in reading in verse 1 and read down through 5.
And Paul, earnestly beholding the council, said, "Men and brethren, I have lived in all good conscience before God until this day. And the high priest
Ananias
commanded them that stood by him to smite him on the mouth. Then said Paul unto him, God shall smite thee, thou whited wall, for sittest thou to judge me after the law, and commandest me to be smitten contrary to the law. And they that stood by said, revilest thou God's high priest. Then said Paul, I wist not, brethren, that he was the high priest. For it is written, thou shalt not speak evil of the ruler of thy people."
Now, I'm going to tell you who the high priest is. He's the president of the nation. Okay? That was the highest position in the nation. Paul did what? Called him a name. Seems pretty
truthful, but still called him a name.
It was truthful, but he called him a name. I tell you what, this is one of the things that really concerns me when we, let your yes be yes and your no, no. No vowels, you know, don't curse, don't swear. But when we start calling people, you know, you speak thou fool, you'll be in danger of hellfire. I take it serious. And I've just gotten a lot of words out of my vocabulary that directly refer to a person, because I'm scared to do that. By my words, I will be justified, and by my words, I will be condemned. I'm scared to death. I would like to speak evil of our rulers. I would like to speak evil of a lot of people that are not rulers, but I refrain. Paul recognized that he did something that was wrong, and he backtracked and changed. You and I need to learn from that. And we need to set the example in our society, whether we like it or not. Because it doesn't matter, you know, it doesn't matter which side of what you would like to see in government. In 4 to 8 years, we're going to have the other side. Okay? And it's all a dog and pony show anyway. Okay, it doesn't matter which one's in there. A lot of bad things are coming. But they're coming because this nation is involved in sin. Carmen picked up a cup the other day. And let's turn over to 1 Chronicles chapter 7. And it had a U.S. flag on one side. And And it had this verse on the other. Maybe it's 2 Chronicles.
It was.
Yep, it was Solomon, I think. Chapter 7. 2 Chronicles chapter 7. And verse 14. Now, this is really neat because, you know, and Carmen saw that. And when she saw that verse on the backside, it kind of blew her away. It did me too, because with that U.S. flag that wrapped around that cup and this verse on that backside of that cup, it really spoke volumes because it put it into place of it's you and I. We are the United States of America. Read verse 14.
If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land.
Heal their what?
Land.
So we wonder why children are committed suicide. Why do we wonder? No, we're grieving. We're not wondering. We know. Okay? We wonder why there's broken homes. We wonder why there's so much pain and misery. I talked to a woman today and she said, I just want you to know that I just don't believe in God. And she said, after I watched somebody close to her die of cancer, she said there could not be a God. You know, I want to help her to heal. But it wasn't a time to argue. And I wasn't going to do it. The problem in this nation is not our rulers. It's the people. If we will turn and serve God with all we got, we will change our land. God will heal. But it's not His fault, it's ours. And if we curse the king, expect our land to go down. If we're involved in sin, if we don't humble ourselves and come before our God and change our ways, our land will be defiled. That's Bible. And if you care anything about what the Bible says, you're going to be with me and we're going to try to do better tomorrow than we did today. I'm done.